If you have your Bibles with you this morning, I invite you to open up with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7. I'll give you a moment to turn there. If you didn't bring your Bible, there should be Bibles in the pews, and I encourage you to open up and follow along. All right. Looking at Matthew, chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. All right. I'm reading from the New International Version today. Hear now the word of our Lord. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of God for the people of God today. Thanks be to God. Well, today on this Father's Day, I want to pose a question to you of what does it mean to be a good father? What is a good father? I know this is a question that many people have asked, and I'm sure every man in the room who is a father has asked themselves this question at some point, probably as you held your newborn for the first time. How do I possibly be a good dad to this precious little one in my arms? As you've grown up and you've had to find, as they have grown up, I should say, you've had to find ways to continue to be a good father with them in all the ways that that means. But what is a good father? You know, some might say that a good father is one who loves his kids no matter what and will just always be there for them. Others will say a good father, it doesn't matter if he's there for his kids as long as he provides for them. Others will say a good father is one who knows how to discipline his kids and teach them right, to raise them up properly. And still others have more definitions of what it means to be a good father. When we think about what it takes to be a good father, I think the best example to look to, of course, is our Heavenly Father. You know, although we don't see God taking on the name of Father until we get to the New Testament, that's something that Jesus brings in. He refers to God as Father. And in fact, in the Lord's Prayer, when he teaches us to pray, he teaches us to pray our Father. But the idea of God as a father is not one that is new to the New Testament. We see going all the way back through the Old Testament the idea of God being a father to his people, a father to the nations, and providing for his people as a good father provides for his children. We, of course, know that God has always been Father, just as Jesus has always been Son and the Holy Spirit has always been there as the third person of the Trinity. When we look at the character of God, we see what it truly means to be a good father. So let's start from the beginning. God created Adam in his own image. In the same way, as is often pointed out by theologians, when parents come together and they have a child, the child is often born in their image as far as the child resembles them. It was kind of funny. When I was helping my parents move on Thursday, I walked into my parents' room to grab something, and my mom was looking for my dad, and she said, ask my husband, and she turned toward me, she said, nope, wrong one, and I stepped forward, I said, yeah, I'm his son, or I spoke to the mover, said, I'm I'm their son. And he said, you look like your dad. And it's amazing, people that know my dad all tell me that I look like him, and it's not just because of the beard. His beard's a lot grander than mine. I'd have to work on growing that out quite a bit to match his. But guys, we often look a lot like our dads, and my dad, the older he gets, the more he looks like his dad. And I remember hearing the story of my grandfather. He walked in a restaurant one day, and there was a mirror next to the door, and he looked over at the mirror. He said, Dad, what are you doing here? We resemble our fathers, and ladies, many of you resemble your mothers. And we resemble both of our parents. But God made Adam in his own image, but he made him for a purpose, and that purpose was not just to serve him. He made him for the purpose of relationship. We see from the very beginning of time God desiring to have a relationship with us, those of us who are made in his image. And right there we see what I'm going to put as the first characteristic of a good father, although I'm not putting these in order of significance. You can decide which one is the most important one. But the first one that we see here is a desire for relationship. Good fathers desire to have a relationship with their kids. In fact, when I see men that don't have any desire to have a relationship with their kids, I seriously wonder, what is the matter with this person? How can you not desire that relationship? And we see this in our Heavenly Father all the way back at the beginning. But then, as we do, we kids often like to push things to the far limit of what we are allowed to do. Am I right? We've all tested our parents' patience at times, haven't we? We're told not to do this, and so we try to get as close to that line as we possibly can, and we'll even stand on one foot and try to balance and lean as far as we can just so that we won't get in trouble, but eventually we're going to step over that line, right? And we all step over that line at some point. And when we step over that line, it falls to our parents to discipline us for our own good. A loving parent disciplines their child. Now, kids, I know that's not what we want to tell ourselves. We like to tell ourselves that if our parents loved us, they'd never discipline us. They'd let us do whatever we wanted. Well, that's not the case. A parent that lets their kid do literally anything they want without any consequences, that's called neglect. And if God indeed was like how some people envision God, particularly how secularists picture God, whereas he's just this figure that set everything in motion and then he sat back and said, let's see what happens. He would be a neglectful parent, wouldn't he? If God did not punish us for our sins, he would be a neglectful father. So when Adam and Eve break the one rule that their dad gave them, I mean, come on, they had one rule. Wouldn't you have liked if your dad only had one rule for you growing up? Couldn't you have followed that one rule? They had one rule and they broke it. And because of that, God had to punish them for their own good. Because as evil as the world became in that short amount of time between the fall and the flood, think of how much more evil it would have been if they'd been able to stay in the garden, continue eating from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and continue eating from the tree of life. Therefore, never aging, never dying, only increasing in wickedness. In the same way, what would happen if our parents didn't discipline us when we did something really stupid? The majority of times I remember my dad getting really mad at me and my sister when we were little was when we were doing things unsafe. My dad actually was talking about this just the other day as we were with some of my friends. We were having dinner with them. My dad commented on the fact that when my sister and I were younger, we used to hide in the clothes racks at the stores. And we would go and we'd hide, and she and I would hide in different ones, and we would not come out until my dad started the count. Do we need to go to the car? If you're not out of here in 5 seconds, we're going to the car. One, two. We never wanted to know what happened when we got to the car. We just knew that it was a bad thing. There was one time in particular, and this is one of the maddest that I ever saw my dad when I was real little. We were in Peoria. And I thought it would be fun to run up and hide around the corner and then jump out and scare them. Now, we were in downtown Peoria. Those of you from Illinois, you know what it means that we were in downtown Peoria. And I ran and I got out of sight and I ran around a corner. And when I jumped out, my dad was furious. Because in the few seconds that I was out of his sight, I was in a lot of danger. Well, we see throughout the Old Testament a lot of discipline by God to his people. You know, all you have to do is read the book of Judges, and they messed up, God punished them. They messed up, God punished them. They messed up, God punished them. Then we get to 1 and 2 Kings, and what happens? They messed up, and God punished them. And then finally, when they have messed up so many times that there's nothing else they can do without killing themselves, they get exiled. And we look at the Old Testament and we say, look at this vengeful, angry God who's always picking on his poor people down there. But you know, when I look at the Old Testament, that's not what I see. I see a loving God who, although it hurt him to do so, had to discipline his unruly children. And if you notice, discipline was never his first move. They messed up, and he said, repent. No. Okay, then you're grounded. They messed up, repent. No. Okay, you're grounded. And when we get to the kings, he sent them prophets. Time and time again, he gave them chance after chance after chance after chance until finally there was nothing else he could do but to send them off to boarding school. Exile. And it was only through exile that they finally learned what it truly meant to have had God as their God. To have that loving God who protected them, who provided for them, and who cared for them. Only after he disciplined them did they finally learn, you know, maybe we should have just followed what he said to begin with. But you know, a good father, even though he may have to discipline his kids every now and then, and sometimes that discipline has to be severe, eventually that discipline comes to an end. A bad father is one who locks his kid up and never lets him out. Just continues punishing them because of a mistake they made a long time ago. But what do we see with God? After the exile, he brought them back. And he was there for them again, and he provided for them again, and he protected them again. And then we see in the New Testament that he sent them Jesus so that they might live once and for all. So that they may truly become his sons and daughters. We are told in the Gospels that when we accept Jesus Christ, we become adopted sons and daughters of God. You know, in the Old Testament, God says, I will be like a father to Israel. They will be like my sons and daughters. But it's only once we get to the New Testament that the adoption finally happens. See, God was kind of like a foster parent there in the beginning. He did everything he could to take care of them, but then it came time to adopt them. And as a good father, he shows his love for us, and sometimes he has to discipline us. Let's be honest, sometimes we all do some pretty stupid things in life, am I right? But God is there for us. He is a good father. He protects us when he can, but when we go beyond the bounds that he has set for us, when we ignore every boundary, when we jump the fence, when we're out after the streetlights have come on, was that anybody else's curfew growing up? When the streetlights came on, you had to be home? When we've gone beyond the bounds that he has set for us, sometimes he just has to let us learn for ourselves. But he is always there to pick us back up again. He's always there to pick us back up again. And he'll set us back up on our feet. He'll dust us off and say, okay, let me show you how to do it right this time. That's our God. Brothers and sisters, we have a loving Heavenly Father, and he's a good Father. I know that in this world, sometimes dads, there are some bad dads, there are some bad fathers. And I don't know the personal relationships any of you had with your dads, unless if I know your dad personally. And then I see what you let me see here at church. But I know that sometimes people don't get along with their dads. Some people do not have good fathers. But even when our earthly fathers abandon us, our heavenly Father never will. And we can find comfort in the fact that even though our earthly fathers may not always be there for us, our heavenly Father will be. Amen? Our Heavenly Father will always be there for us. And we shouldn't allow bad relationships with father figures here on earth to damage our relationship with our Heavenly Father. I've heard many people say they have trouble looking at God as Father because of the bad relationships they've had with their dads. But whereas their dads did not live up to their responsibilities, God does. And through him, you have an opportunity to receive the love of a good father who will never abandon you, who will never leave you or forsake you. He will care for you. He'll provide for you. He'll protect you when he can. And he is preparing a place for you in his home. Each one of you, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, is a beloved son or daughter of God. And he loves you today. Do you believe that? About half of you believe that. The rest of you, I think, are sleeping off that breakfast. We have a good Father in heaven. And he sent us his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross so that we too may be adopted into his family, so that we might live with him for for all of eternity, where he will continue to care for us and provide for us, and he won't have to discipline us because all of the dangers of this world will be gone, and only the good will be left behind. So today on this Father's Day, if you can, tell your earthly fathers Happy Father's Day. Do something nice for them if you can. But don't forget to show your love to your Heavenly Father as well. For he will never leave you. Amen.